Welcome to OSWR, another podcast for the radio amateur.
OSWR is a podcast about amateur radio. My dad, Rich, KD0BJT, and I, Brady, AC0XR, we'll cover a variety of ham radio-related topics and talk about our adventures in radio. So today is Sunday, October the 23rd, 2011, and this is episode number 26.
Extra, extra! Word on the street is that Brady's got his extra class, and that a couple of VEs have some new Mercedes. Were they bribed into giving him his upgrade? Find out next on Extra, Extra!
Sounds, I was going to say professional, but I don't know if I heard that. I don't know that I would think of them as professionals.
There's a show like that.
I wouldn't think of... Well, it's hard to say.
The RSGB's in turmoil. What's going on? Find out on the ICQ podcast with Colin and Martin. Coming up next on Extra Extra. Anyway.
Well, I don't know. It sounded... I don't know how it sounded. It sounded... At least it sounded real.
Thank you very much.
It did sound real.
I'll bet I over-modulated, too.
Yeah, probably.
Oh well, we'll find out in the reason. I mentioned two things there. We'll get back to the first thing later. But I just noticed that the latest ICQ podcast was about the RSGB. I'm kind of interested. I haven't listened to it yet, so it's about the. They've had their troubles. Their president, I'm not sure, general manager was...
I'm not sure.
...was caught in a... I don't want to call it a scandal. There were financial irregularities. Usually that means he was taking some money.
Well, I knew there was something going on.
Allegedly.
I wasn't sure exactly.
Allegedly,
what it was.
Man. Don't be accusing the guy.
Well, I knew something was going on. I wasn't sure
anyway,
what it was, but...
It's far, far away from us. We have a lot going on.
Yeah, this show may be a bit overdone.
Let's hope not.
I'm afraid...
Should we start with feedback?
Sure, yeah, go ahead.
Hi, everybody. Thanks for hanging in there and keeping the feed in your reader or whatever, and we appreciate you downloading and listening, as always. Brady
well, we're not
did.
Sure
I got
people
it.
Did keep it in there.
Well...
Well, if you're listening to this, you probably did, or
yeah,
you're at least listening to it.
That's right. They're at least listening eventually. Maybe in like a year, somebody says,
maybe.
Hey, they made a new episode, and so they download it.
Or just they remember about the,
Who knows?
Who knows? Anyway.
I think most people just leave the stuff in there.
Yeah, probably.
We haven't gotten too many of those emails. Are you still there?
We have a few.
Which means we've gotten everybody used to our random...
Oh, yeah, that is kind of good, isn't it?
Yeah, you get it when you get it. It's kind of like, there's plenty of other podcasts that do it that
way.
We
don't put it out as often as I would like.
But I just wanted to commend you on the last one, because I had really nothing to do with that. I think I posted it online.
You did?
Yeah, I mean, I uploaded it to the archive or whatever. To archive.org.
Oh, you mean the last podcast, right?
Yes, our last episode. It was absolutely great. It was fantastic.
Oh, really? It was. Well,
yeah, the audio sounded great. You were moving right along.
Well, that's good.
I might just have to give you the whole show and just quit.
Well, I don't know.
All right.
Well, at least...
I think someone who did quit was Teen Radio Journey, because I went to the website and I got all these links, Teen Radio links. No, teen website links. So I did a who is on it. That's where you can check to see who owns the domain. And it was someone in Mumbai, India. So I don't think Paul Shirey has control of the domain anymore. Anyway.
Unless he moved to India.
That could be.
And then he'd be reared, yes, in a VU2, I believe.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yep.
We'll find out. We'll look into it. Did Paul Shirey move to India? Find out. Coming up on Extra Extra.
That's a little more interesting.
Okay. Well, the other part of that excitement was the extra class. Somebody get their extra class?
Well, yeah, this is AC0XR. Now that's Alpha Charlie Zero X-ray Radio.
I see. Very good.
I tried to say it a little deeper.
You know, Brady got his extra class and grew up all in one summer.
Yes.
I don't know if you're just listening to the show. The only reason you should go back to any show before like 15 is just to hear the difference in Brady's voice.
I don't know if it was even before 15.
I don't know.
But, I don't know.
He grew up in one summer, everyone, so that's the way it goes. Our little ones, they just grow up.
I see.
You don't like that, do you?
No, I don't.
No, it's because you're growing up. Okay.
Guess so.
Moving on.
Yes. What's
congratulations.
Next? Oh, well, thank you.
On your extra class there. I think there was one thing that really made a difference for you getting it.
Was it the audio?
Don't you think?
What do you mean?
The SCARS audio?
Oh yeah, the South SCARS. They their training session. They put the old sessions up on their website. It's voip.southcars.com. And it's just under the downloads link. They did a new one, but I listened to the one before that, and that's really why I did it. I listened to one a morning. They're like an hour long, and there's 12 of them. So that's really what helped a lot.
Yeah, and I think you really weren't progressing until you started listening to that.
Yes, that's true.
I think in between satellites... Huh?
Yes.
Working the satellites. Why don't we mention that real quick? Brady did the last show about satellites, and, you know, he put it on this list here, but...
Yeah, I did.
In the morning...
We actually made a little list of things we should talk about. We're very organized.
We have lists and papers and feedback sheets, and listen to all this paper here.
And more than we've usually got. This is how it usually sounds. That's how it usually sounds. Moving the paper around.
Just a second here. Shows 1 through 10 are full of that.
I think so.
AO51 in the morning, the satellites in the mornings, especially the western passes.
The western U.S. basically meaning, what do you think?
Well, it seems like, you know, where we're at in Colorado, we get 3 passes every morning. And the two, there's one where we just get the edge of it, or part of the edge, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It's all East Coast. And then there's one that goes over
Which is way too early for me. Those are like 4 in the morning.
3:30, 4 in the morning, yeah.
And then the second mountain time. Yeah, mountain time.
So 6 in the morning out east there. And then there's one that kind of goes over the middle of the U.S., and that's about an hour and 40 minutes later. And then an hour and 40 minutes later, you get one that goes over kind of it's probably over the Pacific Ocean, but it covers the whole western U.S., and there's just never, I don't want to say never. There are times
never.
When
there's...
it's me and Kevin and Bernard and Edmonton, and VA7VW,
right.
And I forget his name.
I'm not
Ron?
Sure.
No, I'm not. I'm getting it wrong.
But. I'm not sure, but yeah, VA6BMJ, Bernard in Edmonton, Alberta. Yeah, you're always on that one. I'm only on the last one.
I'm not always on that one, but I'm just saying there's a
there's just not a lot of people on. It would be much more exciting with more participation.
So if you live in the western part of the United States.
You could even be more east than us. Maybe even saying Kansas, Missouri, Iowa, like things like that.
Yeah, I think on some passes, definitely they would get them. And, boy, that AO51, I think it's down to 4 out of the 6 cells on the battery, but it's still working great. Still very easily worked.
Even though on AMSAT's website, it is listed as semi-operational.
It is listed as semi-operational, but... But if you take the time to listen, you'll be able to get into it. Especially if you live in the western U.S., it's very easy to get on that satellite because there's just not a lot of activity on that morning pass. And that would be about 6 a.m. Pacific time.
Oh, yeah.
It's about usually around 7:30, sometimes a little earlier, sometimes 6:30 mountain time. So an hour earlier on the...
Right, yeah.
Which is perfect. You just get up a little early before work.
That's, yeah.
Me, but one of the reasons I think we haven't done so many is because I'm working nights again.
Yeah.
And that kind of,
it's not really good. Except you are in a pretty good place for the satellites.
This is what I wanted to say about the satellites. I'm up in Wyoming when these things are going over. And so I get to be Delta November 62 and Delta November 72. And there's just very few people working the satellites up there. None. And
yeah, I've never heard it on. There's that guy, KC0ZHF. He's Delta November 71.
Yeah, he's down in Cheyenne. And I actually met him at the Barkfest.
Yeah,
did I tell you?
Yeah, I met him too.
Yeah, that was great. So we actually met somebody that we talked to on the AO-51. That was awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool.
So, anyway, that's – get on the birds.
Yeah. Look, we're especially already 11 minutes into the
– I know, especially the AO-51.
Right,
okay.
We got to stop spending so much time on it here.
Let's go to feedback.
Oh, yeah. Good idea.
Feedback. That was a made-up sound effect.
it was.
Okay. We had a little note from Pete, VE2XPL, saying congratulations, Brady, on your extra class. And these are, let's see. Oh, Eric, KD0MVL, had a question about that CJU antenna. And I think I emailed him really, really late, but he was able to get the information and figure it out.
I think it's February 2009 QST, but I am not at all sure about that.
It is definitely in QST, and if you look up CJU antenna on the ARRL site there, you'll find it. And I had somebody – I was selling a radio on QTH.
Actually, I don't think you can get that archive. Because I thought there was something like archives.
Yeah, you're right. The last 3 years are
three or 4 years, something like that.
So you'll have to have an old QST lying around.
Yeah.
I'm really I'm bummed about this one. I think, yeah, we got Elmer in there the last time. Anthony, EI9GMB, he started the Radio Foxtrot 100 website. And it's supposed to be streaming. And yeah, it's on and off. I think it's got a couple shows on there, but... But he had emailed, and we exchanged some emails there. And it was great. I was listening one day, and I heard like 99 Hobbies, and I heard something else. So it was a really good service, but I don't think it's running 100% of the time. And then Doug, who's another driver, says that he loves the show, and he's learned a lot from us. And he thought it was interesting listening about Hutchinson, and he is a driver as well. And he, the idea, let's see, just a sec. Oh, and using the repeaters to find out about things to see and do when you're in other places. So Google searches don't always show the good stuff. Anyway, he was off to find a VE. And then he says, P.S., just something I noticed when diving through your site. I came back to click on an ad just to say thanks, but noticed that you didn't have any. And then he says we should put Google AdSense on and stick it at the bottom or something like that to help pay for the hobby. And, yeah, I have thought about that, and there's all kinds of Google stuff you can do and putting Amazon links on there. And I don't know. It's almost like not worth the trouble for me. But if you really, really, really want to donate some money, we'll give you some places, some really good places that you can donate some money to. So then N3T... UID, that cannot be right. N3TUI, there we go. Tom sent us a message, and it said, good afternoon, man, at least in my time zone. Noticed your list for the all-mode 2-meter rig. I was selling a radio on QTH.com. A friend is also into older gear, and he also has one of the 700 all-mode rigs. I own one of the 700s. Wondering if maybe I need this rig. Any comments? And I said, no, actually. His 700 was a better rig. Maybe it has dual VFOs. I'm not sure. I was selling an old TR9150, a Kenwood 2-meter all-mode radio. Anyway, it went to a good home. And then Pete, Pete says...
I thought you already did Pete, or did he do two?
No, he had another one here. It says, Clint has presented on the TNT Open Forum 2 years ago working satellites.
TNT Open Forum is one of their nets.
K6LCS, yes. And I just, I'm glad he said that, because that reminded me of something. The Waveguides podcast, if you're not listening to it, listen to a couple of the shows on there. They did one on the Contiki, and I never knew what that was, but the old-timers will remember, and the new-timers, I'll tell you what it was. It was a an expedition, if you will, some, I want to say Norwegians, but they might have been Swedes from Sweden. One of those three up there, Finland, Norway, or Sweden. Anyway, they wanted to... they saw that there were some islands in the Pacific. I'm going to get it all wrong. You got to listen to the show. They basically built a raft and spent like 100 days out on the ocean. But, of course, they took amateur radio with us. And I believe it was in the 40s that they did this, 1940s. They were just trying to prove that they could have done it hundreds or years ago. So it was a very interesting show. They have a lot of interesting shows on that TNT Open Forum.
And there's a link to it on the LOSWR website as well.
The Waveguides thing.
Right, a link to the Waveguides podcast.
I've been doing all the talking.
Well, I can do a few if you want me to.
Yeah, that's all this I had.
Okay, no, we're on this sheet. Okay.
Oh, wait, here's a couple. There was a couple tweets.
Oh, sure.
There was, Pete Lang, ZL4TE.
Nice, New Zealand.
And then,
SM0RVV, Eric. He says, hi, Rich and Brady. Just wanted to say thanks for the great podcast. Looking forward to the next episode and next and next. So, very
let's
good.
See,
here's
let's
the
see,
next.
This might be the next, and then we still owe him one.
Oh, yeah, you're right. Well, here's one of them.
Absolutely, and thank you, everybody, for all the feedback.
Yes. So, let's see, we did the satellite one. Do you just want to start from the top, or what?
The donations. Look at all these places that you can donate to.
Oh, yes, I see. Let's see, we've got archive.org, which is the audio thing we use for our archives.
The Internet Archive there, they're sponsored by a bunch of big corporations, but you can also donate if you want to. They're a 501(c), and it's archive.org/donate. And that's where all of our files are hosted, and they gladly host them for free.
Yes, so you can go ahead and donate there. And then we have, Handy Ham.
It's under the How Not to Podcast category.
Oh, really? That's nice.
No,
like
I'm kidding. Anyway.
It sounded pretty good. How Not to Podcast. Well, nice.
Okay. Very good. Let's move on. Next on the list?
Oh, yeah, the Handy Ham Dr. Dave Matching Funds. Just the Handy Ham, what exactly is that organization?
They're part of a larger organization, I believe. I'm going to get this wrong, the Courage Center. But the Dr. Dave Matching Funds, there's a gentleman out there who's going to donate $5,000 if the Handy Hams can match that. So they're looking for donations. And if you go to handyham.org, and there is a donate button right on their homepage there, right at the top, sort of. You'll just look for it in the top links there. And they're also a 501(c), which means in the U.S. that it is tax deductible.
Yes.
Because you're always worried about that, right, Brady?
Yeah, I am.
Getting your tax deduction.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
All right. Next on the list. I threw Bark Jr. in there. What the heck?
Yeah, how do you donate Bark Jr., really?
I think you email us, get the address, and we have you send it straight to Ellie.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
And they're a 501(c) as well.
Yes, they are.
And then, if you want to donate, but you also want the opportunity to win a cool prize.
We've got the WB2JKJ radio giveaway. You should go ahead and explain how that one works. It's,
the WB2...
Well, I'm not exactly sure how it works.
Yeah, the WB2JKJ Club is the New York Schools Club. I'm not sure. WB2JKJ.org. And right there on the homepage, you'll see the big 2011 giveaway. I think they're giving away... What's that icon? Is it a 7,000?
7,000, I think so.
Giving away an ICOM 7,000. And you basically buy a ticket for $20. And then they end up making about double... Of, you know, they sell 100 tickets, and are those, is that about a $1,000 radio?
Oh, I don't know.
Tickets might be $25 this year, and, oh, you're playing with fire there.
No, I'm not.
Opening a web page while we're trying to record?
No, I'm not playing with fire.
Okay.
See, it's still working.
It is.
I'm just looking at WB2JKJ to see if...
And it's $25 a ticket, and there's 100 tickets, so you'll have a chance to win that radio. And then they end up getting another, you know, they end up raising another 1,000 or 1,200 or whatever for their club that way. I think they end up buying a radio with it as well. So that's about it.
And that is a good place.
All places you can donate and
IC
give
7,000
and feel good about your donations going to ham radio causes.
Yes, yes. Yeah, it is a 7,000. You can watch you used to be able to watch I forget who it was that said that, but you can watch television on the 7,000's display, but you can't anymore since they went to digital. But you can't. You could actually do it.
Right. It had a TV tuner in it.
Yes.
But you can still watch.
You could still do
ATV.
Amateur television. Yeah.
ATV. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, very cool. So
nice it's, radio.
Like we have a local amateur TV net in our area, and so you could at least receive it on that.
Yes.
Okay. Well.
Barkfest might take a long time. Well, let's see. The next ones aren't going to take too long.
Let's go for some of the older stuff. Did you see what I added here?
Oh, yeah.
Here?
Okay. Oh, yeah. The books.
We never talked about these books.
Yeah, go ahead and talk about the books.
I'm making this software, Ham OS. We'll talk about it later. We might not get to it today. But it's a Linux distribution for ham radio operators. It's really a respin.
It's basically Linux, Debian Linux with a bunch of ham radio packages installed.
Pre-installed and on a live...
Pre-installed for the new Linux user.
And it's on a live DVD. You don't even need to install it to try it. You just put the DVD in and you can see all the cool software, CQR log, FL Digi, Whisper, WSJT.
Yeah, you should have put the... It comes with audio clips, too. There's a few audio clips we should have put in.
Oh, yeah. We'll have to play some.
Nice audio clips. There's Morse code and stuff. So anyway.
And CQ Serenade.
Oh, yes.
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. I don't know the words. Whatever you do, whatever you do. CQ Serenade.
Yeah. Anyway, it's good. It's a good distribution and good. It's just nice. It's simple and easy.
So I was I want to put a bunch of links in there. So when you open your browser, there'll be a bunch of links. And I went to the Colorado QRP website, and
to put the link in.
Just wanting to get the link, and right there on the homepage was. What was it?
It was Gabe Sellers' estate sale.
Yeah, one of the local hams passed away, and so they were having an estate sale. It's not on there anymore. I looked, but
I want to see what his call sign was.
It was that morning.
And that morning, we were going to Grandma's house for what? Were we going there for?
I don't know. Was it somebody's birthday? Your birthday? Maybe?
No, it wasn't.
No, Papa's birthday.
What was that? No, maybe.
Anyway, we went in the morning real quick. And, oh, if you like Heathkit, he would buy things, and he had a very big collection of old Heathkit. He had night kits, you know, they were all built, of course, but there was some Lafayette stuff, wasn't there?
I don't know that there was Lafayette.
What's the one that you got? Kit. Oh, there was a couple Halicrafters things. But anyway,
I got a Heathkit, SW717.
There was a K2.
Oh, yeah, there was a K2.
And there were books. Lots and lots of books.
There was a HW82, or it might have been an HW9. I should have got it, but it needed to have the capacitors in it redone, or something like that. And I just wasn't smart enough to get it. I mean, I should have.
$15.
It came with the power supply, too.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know why I didn't do that. I should have.
They had so much stuff, and you know, of course, the brother of the gentleman who passed away, the brother of Gabe there, was from North Carolina, and, you know, just really needed to get the stuff out. And I should have went to the bank and took out $1,000 or something. $1,000 that I didn't have. Anyway.
What was his call sign? Do you remember what it was? It was K0. Well, never mind.
Well, it was WB2.
Yeah. WB2. I can't remember what it was. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. Anyway, we go there and, oh, it was cool. He had a bunch of old Heathkit handheld CBs, right?
Oh yeah, he did have those.
And so they were giving those away for free to the kids. So all the kids got one. All four of them went with me.
Mm-hmm.
So, and there was a picture on the website for a while. I'll try to get them to email it to me and post it on our site. And it was cute. They all had their Heathkit HTs. And anyway, I ended up buying a HW33 and no 32.
33. What are those?
22 and 30. Those single band.
I couldn't tell you what those are. They're the single band sideband 50-watt transceivers.
Yeah.
Actually, an 80-meter and a 20-meter because we already have a 40-meter.
I thought it was 20 and 15. No, you're right. It was 20 and 20. 80. So 20, 40, and 80. So anyway, that's right. That was anyways a lot of fun and
those were like $20 each, weren't they?
Yes, I think I paid $20. I only got one power supply,
but you
can only use one at a time.
Well, so
there were
you're
all
doing
those
single up to radio in a contest.
That's right. Oh, I see. Anyway, I ended up buying all the books later, a week or two later, like 500 books and lots.
I think it was only 3 or 4.
Lots
well, I
and
don't
lots
know.
And lots of ham radio books. Amateur radio,
there are a bunch
electronics.
Of old handbooks. I mean, there was this shelf of handbooks. Just some of them new in the plastic, too.
Yeah, I would say 70% of all the handbooks from, 1946 on?
I don't know, 1940. Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less than 70%, but still.
Tons of books.
Some of
Why
them are
Why did
no
I do
good.
That?
It's because you don't like to see things like that.
Go away. Yes, because they would have been gone. And there were things like the build a regen, your first tube regen receiver.
Now, I agree with you, but it's too bad you couldn't go and sort through all those because there are some that are practically worthless.
Yeah, that's true. They'll probably be given away.
Or it was, the hollow book idea.
Oh, the hollow book idea. Yeah.
This is for the big, boring, thick, uninteresting books.
You know, the how to program in BASIC from 1980. No, I'm probably getting it all wrong, but, you know, there's a bunch of outdated books. He was an engineer for AT&T, I believe. And,
like, how to identify Motorola consumer electronics. Who knows? Just things you wouldn't go to read unless
you
had.
So you take the old book, and how do you make a hollow book?
Well, you go and after the first few pages, you go and you cut out most of the book except for the border. You just cut out and you keep doing that. So you've got this hollow book, and then it has to be weighted down appropriately. So you need to put in rocks or what could you do?
Well, you just hide your stuff in there.
Right, you hide stuff in there, but it has to be the right weight because if you hide $100 bill in there, it's not going to be the right weight.
Yeah, or you just hide it on a high shelf.
Yeah, that could be too.
And nobody
anyway,
will ever
so
pull
can,
it out.
So you can hide things in there, I don't know, money.
Like your tuna tin too.
Yeah, your tuna tin too. That's a good idea. You could,
you can have your emergency communication hollow book.
You could have your emergency soldering station in there.
Oh yeah, you could have one of those little, like propane, soldering torches.
Oh yeah, not bad. That's,
right?
Yeah. Or, you could probably hide an FT-817 in one if it was big enough.
I think you could in like an old dictionary.
Yes, maybe.
Hey, that's a good idea. Anyway, so some of them might get turned into hollow books. So we have a lot of books in the basement. Not in the basement, in the garage.
Yes, in the garage. They're still in the trailer. The trailer, well, it made it home.
It did. It made
there
it home
no,
just
no
fine.
There was no damage or anything, but it was pretty heavily loaded.
It was weighted down. All the boys helped me load it up, and we spent a couple hours, and we're just loading boxes and boxes and boxes of books.
Yep. We had our hand carts and our boxes. And anyway, well, let's see. That was that. We can go ahead and do... Do you want to do this part or this part?
Oh, go with your NAQP.
Oh, okay. Well, the NAQP, the North America CUSO Party, I had said that we had wanted people to do the team idea for the North America CUSO Party, which was really short notice, and we didn't actually get anybody to do that. I don't remember actually how I did there, so that was kind of, didn't go very well, but it was really short notice, so that didn't go well at all. But, you know, maybe next year or something like that. Anyway, I want to go ahead and announce the CQ Worldwide DX Single Sideband Contest.
Better late than never.
Yeah, better late on the audio clip than never. So, anyway, the CQ Worldwide DX Single Sideband Contest. I think that's all the words that are in it. I think so. Anyway, this contest is... October 29th, I couldn't tell you. All I know...
Yeah, probably 29th and 30th.
29th and 30th, yeah, okay, I've got the little calendar thing up here. Okay, so it is October 29th and 30th. I'm not sure when it ends, but it starts at... Oh, it starts at 0 Zulu, I think. Yeah, 0 Zulu on the 29th, which in Mountain Time is... 6 o'clock. When's the time change? It's in November, isn't it?
That's right. It's in November. So
yeah,
it's,
so
it'll
6,
be,
6 p.m. on Friday night, Friday the 28th in Mountain
Time. Is it a 48-hour contest?
I think so. Yeah, because it goes into Sunday.
Well, we'll put a link in the show notes. They can look
oh,
it up.
Oh, yeah. I think it is. I think it's a 23-hour, 59-minute contest.
Oh, 59 minutes and 59 seconds.
I don't think it's 59 seconds.
I see.
But anyway, yeah. Because I think it ends at 5:59 p.m. Mountain Time on Sunday, so I think. Anyway, I just wanted to say that it's a really good contest with a lot of DX on single sideband. So,
and if you're a technician and you're thinking these contests aren't for you, if you haven't heard,
you're totally wrong. You're just wrong.
What's open, Brady?
10 meters.
Almost every day.
Every day I've been on lately, I'd say this week and
who have you worked with your big gun 100 watt station?
This is my big gun, okay? This is an IC701, old radio, discontinued radio, 100 watts out, okay? Plain 100 watts into an old Kenwood tuner. This is a very unimpressive station. All right, into a Kenwood tuner. Okay, we're going into a tuner, and there's an SWR meter, an MFJ SWR meter. And then we go through about 30 feet of TV twin lead up to the roof, 30 foot up, with an 80 meter doublet, is that right?
Graham is walking off in disgust. It's Graham's birthday, everyone.
Oh, yes, we should say that it's not true. Why is it not true? I don't know.
Maybe but because by birthday. The time they listen, it won't be his birthday anymore.
Well, but it's October 23rd. That's the record date, and it's his birthday.
So, yes. So happy birthday, Graham.
Yes.
That's for when he listens in 20 years.
Oh, okay. Yeah, well, then he'll know that we said it. Yes. So the 80-meter doublet on the roof, going through the tuner and everything. And I talked to T T32C. T32C. Now, that is, it comes up on QRZ.com as Eastern Kiribati. I hope I'm saying it right. It's spelled Eastern K-I-R-I-B-A-T-I. Anyway, I think perhaps more well-known or more easy to understand as Christmas Island. Just an island south of Hawaii.
Pretty far south of Hawaii.
Pretty far south, yes. A de-expedition there. I think it's till November 1st, but I'm not sure. Anyway, I also talked to TX7M, and I couldn't tell you the name of the island, but it is actually very close to Christmas Island.
Oh, isn't the Marcos or something like that?
Something like that. It starts with an M, I know that.
Yeah. Anyway, there's a couple of de-expeditions out there in the Pacific.
Yeah, and you should be able to work them on CQ Worldwide DX if I can get the notice.
So the point is that you should definitely give 10 meters a listen, 28.3 to 28.5 if you're a tech. Of course, if you're a general, well, then you can have fun all over the place or extra. So if you've just got your tech, you know, go and if you don't have an HF radio, go find somebody that does.
Yes, yes.
Just go to... Who's the one who has the hams near you? Isn't it N4MC?
Yeah, I think he does.
He has a little thing where you can find hams near you. I'll bet you they'll let you
know, maybe
use
that TX7M was on 20 meters. I'm not sure. But anyway, 10 meters, really, really hot.
I know you've worked some other DX on 10.
Oh, yeah. Germany, Japan, just things like that. A lot of Japan and Germany and South America, too. Oh, what was I going to say? Oh, I heard Taiwan on 10 meters. I didn't actually work Taiwan, but I heard Taiwan on 10 meters, which I thought was phenomenal.
Yes, absolutely.
It's very... I don't know. I just... You know, you go and you... Sometimes you read or you hear about how 10 meters was. I don't know what solar cycle that was, but back in...
I worked in the world on my converted CB with 3 watts.
No, I mean... Back in CQs, all those old CQs we have, you read about that and how they're working the world on 10 meters, kind of like it was just normal. And that never seemed... I never knew how you could do it until now. I see that when the sun's
It just didn't seem possible.
No, it didn't. It didn't.
We, of course, have only been licensed for 4 years, and we got licensed 3 years. 3 or 4?
I think 4.
4? And
yeah, I'd say 4.
It was at the bottom. I mean, at the bottom of the cycle. It was just completely dead. So,
which I think is kind of good, because that lets you have time to get started in the hobby, and, you know, 2 meters and all that stuff.
And you can figure it out, and then when it does happen, you can really appreciate it.
Yes.
Like yes. We are now.
Right.
Brady more than me, because I haven't been operating as much. But anyway...
Yeah, but, yes.
Because
anyway.
I've been working on Ham OS.
Uh-huh. Yes.
Anyway.
Maybe you could have DXCC by now.
Probably. Except I
don't know.
I'm horrible at QSLing.
Oh, I am too. I wanted to say that if you get into the satellites and you record the pass as you work, that's great. Go ahead and do it. It is very cumbersome to have to write down all the context.
It is hard, yes.
Go and listen to your recordings, because I have like 30-some recordings left to listen to.
Brady is saying, listen to them the same day.
Preferably the within an hour, because I have 30-some recordings to listen to. And, I mean, on my MP3 player, I think I started with like 10 recordings, and then I end up with like 70. So I had like 60 recordings. I don't know how many I've listened to. I'm on 30-something, and then I have to go and write them down. So... If you are waiting to get a QSL card from me for the satellites, I'm sorry it's taking so long, but I worked satellites instead of listening to the passes I worked. So I can't actually confirm anything. So
well, actually,
that's my problem.
And when you do it, make sure that when you start the recording to say the date, the time,
yes,
and the satellite that you're working.
Yes, because I had to delete the first few of mine because I didn't say anything. I don't know what satellite it was, what day it was, what time it was, or anything.
Right.
So,
Anyway, that's something to remember. That's a trick. A lot of people record the satellites because the exchanges are happening so fast. The trick that I use is I listen for a few minutes, then I write down everybody's call sign in Grid Square that I hear, and then I start working the ones that that I haven't worked before, and that seems to work out okay. Then inevitably you'll get somebody calling you that hasn't been on. But if one good thing that I've used is K8YSE, that's John, and I forget his site. It's Papaws or P-A-P-P-A-S, maybe. I'm not sure, but
I thought it was P-A-P-A-W-S, but I'm not sure.
That could be. I don't know. If you Google K8YSE, he has a bunch of recordings. His son has helped him to set up an automated recording thing, and that would be his son. I forget his name. It's KD8CAO, and
oh, yeah.
Worked both of them on the satellites. That was kind of neat. So there's all these recordings up there of the AO-27, you know, the FM birds.
The ISS is on there too, I think.
Yeah, when it goes over. So that's just an invaluable resource. They have this set up automatically, and of course they can't. A lot of times you get two satellites coming over at the same time. They can't do both of them, but there'll be one or the other.
Right. So yeah, they're pretty helpful.
Absolutely.
So, I can... Yeah, do you want me to just keep on going down the list?
Yeah, you might as well.
Right, well...
We'll just make it an hour show.
Yep. Well, the next thing is my FT-100D at Dayton in 2009, actually. I bought this FT-100D. And these are Yaesu radios. They're DC to daylight, all-band, all-mode radios. 100-watt, just your maybe your typical... HF mobile radio. Anyway, but it had the SWR problem, typical of the FT-100s. They will display your high SWR notification even when there isn't. And there's a modification you can do to fix that. The site is K0LEE, I believe.
That sounds
right. I can't
guarantee
that, but I think that's what it is. Anyway, and there are these pictures of factory mods that have been done to radios, done to FT-100Ds for the high SWR problem. They're all different. They all are different. Some of them do kind of the same thing. Some have this thing done, some don't. So, it's kind of hard to say, but we did one of them to the radio, and it still had high SWR. And then we opened it up, less than a week ago, and you started tightening the screws. And they were already pretty tight. I mean, none of them were, like, really loose or anything, but, you know, there's not much else you can do because all the modifications are different. So anyway...
And I just remember that I had read that somewhere. It's one of the things you can try is tighten up the chassis screws. But I guess the radio goes into some kind of self-oscillation or something like that if it doesn't have a good, super good ground.
Yeah. So anyway...
Because a lot of the mods have to do with shielding and better grounding.
Yes. Yes. So anyway, so he tightened up the screws. And that really actually did it. I mean, it started transmitting with no high SWR. And that was really great. That was a really great thing.
It was.
That it would actually work. Because I had gotten kind of mad, actually, when he had tried out his, because he also has an FT-100D, and he tried it out on 10 meters, and then it goes and works. No high SWR mod ever went, and he goes and talks to a guy in Nevada, and on 10 meters.
Oh, that was an interesting guy.
It wasn't even...
He was part of MUFON, which is the UFO group.
And I didn't like that.
And he lived pretty close to... I think he lived pretty close to Area 51, too. Anyway, go ahead.
No, well, anyway, so, and that was, I don't know, that must have been earlier this year. So anyway, mine didn't work, but we got it working, and now I'm figuring out a mount for it in the car. I'd like to get it in there, but I don't know exactly how I'm going to do it. So anyway,
Brady has to move around in the van, so we can't.
So he can't
he's
go
trying
in
to have
seat.
A semi mobile's not the word movable station in the car.
A very challenging
Endeavor.
Yes, Endeavor.
You've got that board going, though. Some kind of a board.
Yeah.
Where you going to mount it, vertically or something?
I was thinking vertically.
With a bungee cord?
Yeah, but it doesn't seem...
It's not working
out. I have to make extender for the power and everything. It's not... It's just not really easy.
It's not ideal.
No, it's not. Not at all. So, anyway, I have to do that. But yours does have the low output power on 2 meters and 70 centimeters.
I have the VHF-UHF problem, which also plagues those radios.
Never buy one of those radios, okay? The guy I bought it from said it worked.
It does work.
No, it doesn't.
What doesn't work about it?
No, I mean when I bought it, he said it worked.
Yeah, I know.
Anyway... but never...
I don't think he was being...
No, I don't think so either, but it's just disappointing.
Dishonest. It was just, yeah, you know, he didn't know and you didn't know. It's one of those things, it's like, what do you do?
I know.
It's like you sell a guy a car and the car blows up the next day. You feel bad about it, but it's like, eh.
Yeah, you know, it could have been one of those, it worked the last time I had it on or something. You know, one of
yes,
those.
Yes,
so,
yes.
But anyway, it works now.
Of course, he did give you the Kenwood mic that did not work with it.
He also said that worked, I think.
Yeah, so I don't know.
Well, anyway, it doesn't
matter.
Maybe
he grabbed the wrong one.
That could be. I could see that happening, actually. Anyway, we did make the Kenwood mic work, and it works nice. And it's all working now. It's really nice. So, anyway. Okay, yeah. Let's see.
You should talk about your link.
Okay, yeah, I got up a AC0XR link, just an
this
Echo
is
link,
a, link. Yeah, Echo link, yeah.
Just a simplex link, so basically your audio, if you go and transmit on the right frequency, it will come into my radio, and my radio sends it to a computer, which sends it to the internet and Echo link. So that's just what a simplex link is. And it's just a TR-7950, just an old Kenwood 2-meter.
I think it was a $10 radio at the swap meet. Or no, I think I got it from the sunroom.
I don't know.
Anyway, no microphone.
No
it's
microphone
beat up,
is great.
You know?
It's just the kind of thing for a link radio.
Absolutely. Because it's the, you know. Anyway, it works great.
Anyway, so I hook it up to the computer, and we actually had quite an interesting time with the computer because I ran EchoLink under Linux. It's actually running under HamOS with Wine. it's just very exciting to have it running because configuring the serial ports is hard to do. But anyway, it's running, and that is very interesting. Currently, it is just hooked up to a dummy load, but I'm going to hopefully be getting a better antenna up for it.
Yeah, the other reason that that we're not so quick with the podcast is that we're trying to sell our house here, and there's been a lot of work to do. So that's been keeping me busy as well, and that's probably one of the reasons you don't have your antenna up yet either.
Yeah, maybe.
I've been painting lately while we're taking advantage of the warm weather here in October.
It is warm weather.
It's about to end, though. We're going to get some rain on snow on Tuesday night, so...
Yeah.
Couple more days of this nice warm weather, and then it's going to get cold. But yeah, that link, it works really good. It's neat.
It really does. It's just neat to see it work under Linux.
And that's the Echo link. When you go, I forget. Well, you set it all up. How do you get a SysOp account? How do you get a link or a dash L or a dash R?
What you do is you have, this is the way I did it, is I went and validated AC0XR. So they need to make sure that you are who you say you are. You are AC0XR. And how I did this was I was previously validated as KD0BJS. So how I did it when I was KD0BJS was I went and I photocopied my license, actually, and just sent it in to them, and they say, okay, you have a KD0BJS license, you're KD0BJS, you can get on Echolink. So you can do that. Then when I changed when my call sign was changed to AC0XR, there's a little page, an Echolink page, where you can change an old call sign to a new call sign. So I put in KD0BJS, and I had them change it to AC0XR. And that's how that was done. And then when you, in order to validate AC0XR-L or -r for the link or repeater. You go and I'm not exactly
is this,
sure.
Is this
how
on
do
the
this.
Website?
Yeah, this is on the Echolink
okay,
website.
Okay, so there's some kind of a thing that says okay,
yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah, it says there are a few ways you can do this. And how I did it was enter a password for an existing account. So I entered the password for AC0XR because they give you a password when you are validated. So I entered the password for that, and that's how it's done. It's
okay, and then you're able to add a dash L.
Yes, you can validate
a link
dash
or
L
or a repeater. Okay, and you do that because now you're actually running some RF, which is pretty neat.
Yes, very
on
neat.
on your Echolink. So. Mm-hmm. If you see AC0XR-L up, give him a call. He'll have his HT on.
Yeah, I try to monitor it. What did I...
I think you have it pretty much... You monitor it whenever it's on, don't you?
Yeah, pretty much. 145070.
It's neat just to hear you push 08 and it says, disconnected.
Yes, that's the status check. It's very nice. To see it, to hear it working and everything. So, anyway.
It's one of those things where you get it together because you had some trouble with the interface, right?
Yeah, the interface.
This old interface we had, it wasn't keying the radio.
That's because the LED had to be shorted out.
I
don't really know why it works.
We eventually figured it out.
Yep.
But man, when you get it working, it's just a great feeling.
Yes, yes. So do you want to go ahead and talk about Homebrew Night, and then I'll do the EOSS thing?
Well, let's save Homebrew for next time. And,
oh, okay. Yeah, we
talked
that.
About the high bands being live.
Let's do some of this stuff at the bottom.
There's a bunch of audio out there, and Alpha Delta 7 Mike India, 87MI Scott, had two episodes of a podcast called Radio Safari back in March, and he was stationed in Korea, I believe. Yeah. And the first episode was about getting his license in Korea there and working from Korea, and then in the second episode, he had a really cool episode of, I'm not sure if it was Dimension X or one of the other science fiction radio shows from back in the day, but it was really good about reality and stuff anyway. And unfortunately, he's only put out those two. Now I see that he's back in Kansas because he has a blog. So I emailed him. We'll see what the story is there, but I'll have a link in the show notes for those two episodes anyway. Then, LibriVox is the work that they're doing to, put into an audio form some of the public domain books here in the United States. And I've talked about them before with the Young Railroaders and Brighton Boys in the Radio Service. And so I really liked the gentleman who read the Young Railroaders. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
And I looked up his name, and he had done some Tom Swifts. And if anybody remembers Tom Swift, I'd never heard of him. But apparently he was quite the read for young boys back in the day, and he had all these great adventures. He was an inventor and an adventurer. And so I listened to Tom Swift and his war tank and Tom Swift and the electronic aqua lung. And there's actually a Tom Swift Sr. and a Tom Swift Jr. And they're both adventurers and inventors. So give those a listen. And then another one that I found was a 1915 book. I think it's by James Monroe, and it's called The Story of Electricity. Oh, and I forget the lady's name who reads it, but she's British and she did a great job. It's called The Story of Electricity, and it's from 1915. So you get this perspective of what electricity could do back then. And it's really interesting to hear the experiments that they've done and the game changers of the day, the electric bell. And there's a whole chapter on wireless, and that's really, really good. So you can give that a listen to it if you're interested. A couple other podcasts to mention. HQA Radio, I reluctantly call it a podcast because I think the definition of a podcast is that you have a good RSS feed that works. But anyway, HQA Radio, and this is actually the reason, in my opinion, why Richard, KB5JBV, no longer does resonant frequency. And it's because very boldly on HQA Radio's homepage, it says the amateur radio podcast. Just pushing resonant frequency to the side. So of course, yeah. Anyway, that's all tongue in cheek. But HQA Radio, he's got a bunch of episodes up there. I think he does a live show too. Like I say, it's a bad feed, so I can't. Anyway, it doesn't work for me, but it might for you. So then there's Handy Hams. They have a podcast that I didn't really know about. I should have. But anyway, I've really been enjoying that the last couple of months. A weekly show. And, they keep you up to date on all kinds of things. They're doing this thing right now. I think it's about W3DD and, not the current W3DD, but an older one who was sight impaired. He was blind and he was doing all kinds of great stuff. And so they're reading some excerpts, I think, out of a book from that. Of course, Ham Nation is on. And, if you haven't heard about Ham Nation, well, it's Bob Heil, Gordon West, oh, the guy from Amateur Logic TV is great. I love his stuff. He made a speaker, a homemade speaker the other day. That was awesome. And then the guy from the host is, when Bob Heil can't do it, is the guy from, he makes those DVDs. Anyway, more about that later. But anyway, a great show, Ham Nation there. I'm sure you all have heard of it. And then, so Richard, KV5JBV from Resonant Frequency and Linux in the Ham Shack, he sent an email out to a bunch of people. You probably heard about it already, but how he was giving up Resonant Frequency. However, in the meantime, he has decided to start up Richard's Radio Adventures. So just leave the Resonant Frequency feed in there and you'll be getting his. He's already put one episode of those out. And I'm just going to go ahead and say it. Thank you, Richard, for everything you've done. You are the podfather of amateur radio podcasting. Oh, and you are an advocate for amateur radio as well. All right. I mentioned the radio for teens, right? No. I mentioned Teen Radio Journey domain was owned by somebody in Mumbai. Anyway, the radio for teens guy, and I forget his name, but he's got a new episode out there too.
Oh yeah, he's a good guy at it too.
He's got a great voice.
What is his name?
I don't know.
Why can't I remember?
He had a lot of excitement too. It was fun to listen to.
Yeah, it was. It was a really good podcast. I'm glad he's got another one out.
And I had dumped the feed because I didn't think he'd ever put another show out, but then I went over there and he had, so I haven't listened to it yet, but I did download it.
Oh, this has got to be the feature of the podcast.
We saved the best for last.
Okay. This is a feature of the podcast, thanks to K3NG.
He is the radio artisan. He's got a great blog.
All right. So this is great. You want us to read like I read this one?
I don't know. Do you want to read the whole thing?
Sure.
Okay. I guess we'll go over an hour.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Amateur Radio Antenna Review Form version 1.0.
So this is an antenna review form that showed up on his blog, on K3NG's blog.
All right, so you have to fill in the name of antenna, and you fill in your reviewer call sign as well. Okay. Type of antenna. Check all that apply. Commercial dipole that seems to work better than any dipole I've ever built. Off-center fed dipole that works better than a regular dipole. Vertical that doesn't need any radials. 6-foot whip that works great on 6 meters to 160 meters. Old design from handbook someone is selling as a new idea. A dipole or dipole variant I'm selling to unsuspecting people. I don't know. Or other. Specify. Okay. Now,
anyway, go ahead.
Okay, so now you go in, you have to check the following. Owned antenna for 0 to 6 months, 6 to 12 months, more than 30 years. Never owned one, but I think it's great. Okay, now why antenna is great? Check all that apply. Got a 59599 report from several stations. Is stronger in comparison tests against my old crappy antenna. worked a guy in, and then you're supposed to print
the
country.
Fill in the blank.
Fill in the blank with the country. Neighbor XYL can't see it. Antenna annoys neighbor XYL. Manual good translation from Chinese large help in assemblage. Antenna gain specification is in DBD and not evil DBI. Heard on 80 meter roundtable it was good. Can be fed with, check all that apply, any length of coax, RG58 or RG8, or a special length of, specific length of special coax, which is included in the box. Low SWR 1-to-1 across entire, check either band or RF spectrum. Antenna tuner required to get low SWR, yes or no, circle all that apply. Antenna has a cool name. Antenna as good as multiple stacked four-element Yagis when conditions are good, repels lightning, or antenna includes mystery black box. Just...
if you've ever... Well, how do we go about talking about reviews of amateur radio equipment?
I like it. It's good.
Yeah, it's pretty funny because you do hear a lot of these things every now and then.
Yes, like verticals that don't need radials.
Yeah, and some don't, but
yes, I don't know. It's really good.
Yeah. I guess those verticals that don't need radials have the mystery black box.
Perhaps they might. Yeah, they might.
Isn't that what's that one that you have?
Oh, that one kind of does have radials, but it's a
the Hustler or something.
Yeah, I think it might be a Hustler. I'm not sure, but anyway, it doesn't have very long radials.
Anyway,
and it does have a mystery black box, but I think it's just a feed point. But I'm not sure. I should open it up and see.
Oh no, it's got a matching, some matching.
Oh wow, I should open it up.
Some mystery matching in there. All right, I guess that'll wrap it up for today's show.
Yeah, let's go ahead and play the last clip. And let me see if I can even find it.
Well, why not this one? See, I thought that was pretty good. I liked that.
Yeah, that wasn't bad.
Oh, let's find it. Is it this?
It's that one, number 71.
Okay, thanks for listening, everybody. And of course, you can get a hold of us at kd0bjt@lowswr.com.
Or you can always do the lowswr.com. lowswr.com contact us page, or ac0xr@lowswr.com.
73, everybody. Have a great week.